This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
For every blessing, give unto me, give unto me.
Give unto me, give unto me. God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Just praise him for his amazing grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.
I believe I'm talking to people this morning who know something about the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Do you?
Hallelujah.
Do you know something about the grace of God?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Wherever you may be. Wherever you may be this morning. Give God what is due him. Amen. Amen. Good morning to all of you, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. What a blessing it is to be amongst the living in the land of the dying. God has shown himself faithful once again. You and I woke up this morning, we could testify, Lord, you did it again. You gave us a day that we do not deserve, full of mercy, full of grace, full of opportunity, filled with his love. Everywhere you look, you see the glory and the beauty of our God. And we ought to give him glory every opportunity we have, not just with our mouths, but with our lives, to thank God for how great he is. God has brought us through once again, not because we've been so good, but because he's so good. And because of his divine will, he has allowed us this opportunity to grant him some love and some thankfulness. On this blessed Sunday morning, we greet you in divine love today. In the name that's unlike any other name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King. To all of you, my father's children, all officers and leaders, all of our ministers, and to you who are worshiping with us virtually, we thank God for you on this morning for sharing with us. You could be anywhere else in the world, but we thank you that you're worshiping with us on this morning. And you ought to give yourself a hand this morning for just being able to worship with us and worship God. Amen. 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 We survived another storm. Amen. Amen. God brought us through. Amen. We have limbs, but we still have life. Amen. We got a lot of stuff we got to deal with, but we still have life. And God spared our life, and we owe him praise for that. We owe him glory, we owe him honor, and we owe him devotion. We thank God for bringing us through yet again. Hurricane Delta definitely came to our community. We still want to pray for those in South Louisiana who had it way worse than we did. And so we continue to lift and support all who have been affected by the elements and by the atmosphere in which we live. But God is still good. God is on the throne. Yes, he is. He is still on the throne. And I've learned to thank God not just when he presides on the mountain. I learned to thank God when he presides over my life and in the valley. Even when life doesn't feel good, he is still my God. Amen. 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 We come to do today what we've been assigned to do, to share a word with you. Want to whisper some sentiments to heaven, and we want to take a sermonic thought, see what the Lord has to say, and then we'll go home and get ready for the ball game. Is that all right? All right. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. Thank you, O God, for life. Lord, we just thank you for being who you are. Lord, to be honest with you, thank you doesn't seem to be enough for how great you are and how wonderful you are, how patient, long-suffering, how gracious you are to all of us. Lord, we thank you for this day, this moment, this opportunity. We receive your forgiveness today, God, the areas that we've made some mistakes and the areas where we've fallen short. Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon us, to forgive us, oh God. We're admitting it. We're in church. We're in your presence. And we dare not come in your presence and pretend like we got it all together, that we've done everything right, that we've been good boys and good girls. Father, sometimes we've been on the naughty list. Sometimes we've done some things wrong, but we come before you admitting that. Your word says that if we can confess it and faithful enough to give it to you, you're faithful enough to forgive us. And we ask you, oh God, for your forgiveness and your cleansing, that we might be better for you. And also, God, we come today needing your help, need your touch. Those under the sound of my voice, oh God, need to have an encounter with you. They need to have an experience with you, oh God. And I pray that you will meet them right where they are, oh God. Will you lift them high? Will you heal them? Will you provide for them? Will you touch them? Lord, whatever they have need of today, oh God, will you bless my brother and my sister? They're not just my brother and my sister, Father. They are your child. And we know, oh God, that you have a special plan for your children. And I pray, oh God, that you will give them peace as they wait and prepare on what you have in store for them. Lord, we come before you now, need to hear a word from you. And we pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will give us what we need to know concerning the hour that we're in our lives. God, I yield myself to you. I yield my mouth, talk with it. I yield my mind, think with it. I yield my body, use it, oh God, that you may be able to get a point, the cross that you have fit for our people today. To you be the glory for it all. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who makes life worth living. Thank you for his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his intercession. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, when we say the name Jesus, demons flee. When we say the name Jesus, things get better. So, Father, we thank you today for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you today. Now, Father, we pray that some soul will be saved, some destiny will be altered, someone will be lifted and encouraged, and to you be the glory for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. There the Holy Spirit has guided us to share a word with God's people today. The book of Acts chapter number 9. I want to commence reading. I want to deal with the whole pericope, verses 1 through 19, but for the benefit of brevity, we just want to read and lift a couple of verses for you this morning. I wouldn't dare try to read all of it, but I do hope that the Holy Spirit would deal with all of it, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter when you study, your leisure time. It'll bless you in a mighty way. Acts chapter number 9, and I want to read verse number 3. Bible reads thusly, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and certainly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. That's enough right there. The grass withers and the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall last and stand forever. Amen. 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 We want to tag this text, A Great Awakening. A great awakening. Glory to God. A great awakening. I want to say something today that's going to sound so cliche, but I just don't know no other words to say at this time. God is awesome. I don't have anything. I have to start my message today with that simple statement for you and I to understand that God is awesome, that God is stupendous, that God is amazing, that God is glorious, God is omnipotent. God is mighty. God is wiser than any of us could ever fathom. And there's something about providence, my friends. There's something about providence. Providence meaning that everything is in the hands of God. That God has a way of ordering stuff. God has a way of fixing stuff up for his glory. God has a way of making enemies speak. He has a way of folk who can't stand each other do for each other. He has a way of taking a ball of fire and suspend it in the air and call it the sun. He has a way to take salt and sugar, make them look the same, but taste different. He has a way to put wetness into water. He has a way to allow seasons to heat up some moments, allow the earth to cool off in other moments. That's just how awesome God is. He is awesome, and he is all-powerful. And if God can change seasons, if God can change the atmosphere, I believe God can change you and I. Now, whether you want to admit it or not, most of us this morning are here, and we're living in what we're living in because the truth of the matter is God changed me. If you think back to what you used to be and to see where you are now, you know you're not a finished product. But you can testify, I am the evidence of the changing power of God, that God did something in my life. He altered my destiny. He took me from nothing and made something out of it. He had a plan when everybody else wrote me off, when everybody else kicked me to the curb, when everybody else labeled me. God spared me. God saw something in me. I did not see it myself. God kept me when I didn't even want to be kept. That God spared me when I wanted to give up on my life. Am I all by myself this morning? Who knows that when you have put yourself in the hands of God, that God has a way of changing some stuff. And when God doesn't change the situation, I praise him this morning that God knows how to change you in the situation, the way you look at life. And so today I want us to look at perspective, and I need you to understand that your life is not wasted today. That no matter what you're living in, no matter what you're dealing with, there is no waste to your life. You may not have what you think you ought to have. You may not be where you think you ought to be. You may not have the economic status you wish you could have. You may not have the educational status that you wish you would have. You may not be married with 2.3 kids, which I don't know how you get 0.3 of a child, but when you have 2.3 kids and don't have the dog and the picket fence, you may be in a one-bedroom shack. You may have a jalopy. You may be walking, but as long as your heart is beating, God has purpose for your life. God has an opportunity to do something amazing in your life. God even has a way, you're going to find out, of taking you to when you were headed to wrong, and God will get you right. That God has a way of taking you from hell, and he will show you heaven. And it's time, my friends, I believe what God is showing all of us in this season, and that it's time for a great awakening. It is not for the woke people. This is for the awake people. Because when you woke, you looking for something. But when you awake, something looking for you. And I want to talk to people this morning who are going to receive that God is looking for you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. You might be looking for this, but God is looking for that. God wants to take you from glory to glory, from higher to higher. And such is the case that we find in our text on this morning. We know this familiar story of this great man of God, the greatest writer of the New Testament. His name is Paul. But before he is Paul, he had to deal with some Saul. And you and I know, y'all, that we've got to deal with who we are before we meet the Lord, as we meet the Lord. Now, you know what many of us make the mistake and do? We pretend that since we met the Lord, that we didn't have a life before we met the Lord. So much so that we forget and lose ourselves, and just because he changed my name don't mean he changed my nature. So I want to make sure today that we've made sure we've done the necessary elements, that we've taken care of protocol so that the awakening can come in our lives. God is shifting us. God is moving us. God is pushing us. God is propelling us. Because let me be honest with you, most of us think we know how this thing's supposed to go. We're looking back and we're sitting on our perches and we're judging Washington. We're judging Baton Rouge. We're judging the church. We're judging this. We're judging that. If it were me, I would do this. Couldn't be me. I wouldn't do that. Couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. You think you know how this thing is going to go. And if you are like that this morning, because you ain't going to admit it in church this morning, but a lot of us are a bunch of know-it-alls. We think we got life figured out. Just because you done live one more day past your past a dog, you think you know everything. But God is getting ready to upset your theology. God is getting ready to blow your mind. And God is going to use you whether you want to be used. He going to use people whether you want to be used or not. Because at the end of the day, this is not about me and you. This is not about who got the best church, who had the best house, who's got the best voice. It's about what God wants. And I see God now ordering our steps. I see God now putting us in the pot, and he is creating us to be the very best us he wants us to be. But in order to have that, y'all, you got to endure a great awakening. Why would we waste these storms? How you gonna keep wasting Laura and ain't got no better? How you gonna waste Delta and ain't got no better? How you gonna waste Corona and ain't got no better? God, you done been sick and you ain't got no better. You was just waiting to get better so you can go back to being stupid. I want to talk to people who done been through enough stuff that my eyes are clear now. I'm not gonna play with my life no more. I'm not gonna mess up people no more. I'm just so thankful that God saved me. Y'all see that? Wait a minute. Because too many of us take life for granted. And we get so caught up being woke that we don't know how to be awake. And it's time for the children of God not to just be woke. I ain't talking to the woke folk today. Keep on marching. Keep on protesting. Keep on showing us disliked. I ain't bothering you today. I just want to talk to people who realize that I'm in the dark about some stuff. And I want to stay with the Lord so that the lights can come on. I know God is up to something. I know who am I talking to this morning. I know God is up to something. I can feel it in my spirit. I feel the urgency in the atmosphere. I know God's up to something. And I'm asking God today, Lord, show me what you got for me. Help me understand my purpose. I know you call me to better than this. I know it's more to my life than this. Help me, oh God. Listen. And so today we got to look at this brother before he's Paul, before he becomes this great, great pastor. He's a persecutor. And Saul, my friend, he's tricky. Saul represents many of us because he knows the book. He knows the book. He knows how you're supposed to do stuff. And Saul is of the tribe of Benjamin. And God's going to use everything that he think he used to impress people, that God's going to use all that for his glory. He's got dual citizenship. He's a born native Hebrew, but he's also got Roman citizenship. That's going to benefit him down the road when he wants him to establish churches. It's going to benefit him that he can go reach Gentiles. God is getting ready to shift the church. In Acts chapter 9, God is going to shift the church to be what he wants it to be. And you got to go past Acts 2 when God started the church. And you got to go to Acts 9 where God's going to spread the church. Can you handle God taking this stuff bigger? Can you handle God using other folk besides you? And this group of Pharisees that Saul's a part of, he is sat at the feet of Gamaliel. In chapter 7, he was right there when Stephen, the first deacon of the church, he was right there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen. He was in agreement. Chapter 8, verse 1 says that he was consenting. He was in agreement with the stoning of Stephen. He is fighting the church in the church. I told you I was coming for you pretty soon. Y'all didn't want to say amen. I'm just going to come to your house myself. He was in the church fighting church, because it does not go with what we figured ought to go with. Here they are, this group of church, this little charismatic group of people shouting, talking about this Messiah, talking about this Jesus. And we're on a mission to shut down this Jesus talk and stick things to the law. And those who don't do what the law says must be violated. They must be condemned. They must be imprisoned. They must be shut down. And so here he is holding the coats from a time of a young man. He's watching folk fight progress. He's watching deacons in the backdoor meetings. He's watching sisters on the phone talking about the preacher, then show up and then want to honor the preacher. Saul getting messed up by what he's hearing and what he's exposed to. Have you ever been there? Have y'all been through that? I need to talk to people who grew up in church. who knew with this stuff you're hearing about God ain't matching up to what you're hearing at the house. Because how y'all shouting like this Sunday morning, and then y'all go to dinner Sunday evening, and you tearing out everybody you shouted with Sunday morning? This ain't nothing new. It was happening with Saul. And they were so mad, they were so passionate about shutting down this ministry of Jesus Christ, because they still wanted to keep looking for the Messiah. Law keeps people bound. Law kept people in check. Law kept people doing what the religious leaders wanted them to do. And Saul found himself in favor with the decision makers. He found himself favorable and popular with the culture. He finds himself hanging out with the in crowd. And he's holding their coats. What an honor that he gets to hold the coats of those who are destroying Stephen. Shut up, Stephen. Nobody want to hear all that stupid talk about Jesus. Shut up. Ain't no Jesus. Where's this Messiah? What kind of Messiah came like that and did these healing, did this miracle? All this y'all talking about y'all did in chapter 2 in Jerusalem, that's a lie. And it's a movement now to shut down the progress of God's church. This first century church, they're trying to shut them down. And when they kill Stephen, it caused the apostles to start running. Bible says that saints were persecuted, and they had to run to Samaria, Judea, othermost parts of the earth. They didn't understand, y'all, that the stuff that folk was doing to them was all part of God's plan. Because in chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, you shall receive power, and you'll be able to go to the othermost parts. Judea, Samaria, othermost parts of the earth. And so all you doing by causing hell in my life is sending me toward my destiny. You're sending me toward my purpose, because you can't shut down the church. You can't stop the move of God. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you put in the legislation. I don't care what you try to censor me. You can keep me off Facebook. You can put me off the radio. You can put me off TV. I ain't shutting up. God is still my God. Jesus is still my Savior. He still died for my sins, whether you like it or not. And they're pushing to shut down the spread of the gospel, because they've been teaching people that the only way to get to heaven is be a good boy and be a good girl, that you've got to make sure you follow those rules, that those rules, those Mosaic laws, you got to still just make sure you give a sacrifice. And your heart ain't got to be right. Just make sure you give your sacrifice. Bring your goat. Sacrifice your goat, you're good. No matter if your heart, no matter if you got jealousy and malice in your heart, just bring your goat. Just wear your vestments. Just go through the motions. Show up in your spot. Show up in your position. Everything will be all right. Ain't nothing got to help your heart. And this is what was fault, because now this message of Jesus says, all this that you're doing, he already died for it. All this you're struggling with, he already died for it. Because the stuff you're struggling with, you should have died from a long time ago. But because Jesus came, he died for that. So you don't have to live with that. And Pharisees don't want to hear that. Pharisees didn't want to hear that, so they tried to shut down this move of God. And Saul sitting right there with them, sitting right there amongst them. God, and then he done caught on. Now he's become zealous. He's become, I'm all in with this. And they start letting Saul, do a little more stuff. They start letting him go in people's houses and go break up in other people's houses in Judea. Saul is the man now. Saul's something else, because they're giving him authority. Oh, don't give us no power. Don't give us a little bit of power. Don't let us just be able to go to the post office, because now you can't. Don't mess around and give us keys. Don't mess around and give us badges. Don't mess around and give us a little bit of authority, because now ain't no talking to us. And Saul, now he's able to go up in people's houses, because they say they're Christians. He's yanking them in jail. Shut up all this Jesus talk. Shut up all this Jesus mess. Do you see how Saul used to be? And Saul seeks authority in chapter number 9. First part of chapter 9, he's seeking, how can I go and shut it down? Because he hears word. They didn't mess around and call themselves spreading his gospel still. Now they don't call themselves going. They didn't went to Judea. I went there and shut it down. They in Jerusalem. Y'all got it in Jerusalem. He doesn't understand that while he's doing this, simultaneously, while he's here to go do something else, Peter, who is a Jew, Peter, who is the apostle, Peter, who is the greatest preacher, Peter's at Cornelius' house, getting Gentiles saved as we speak. You think you doing one thing, God already shutting down other people. Oh, Lord, help me. I wish I had time to really unpack all this like I need to for y'all to get some understanding, because we don't halfway read the Bible, so I have to kind of show this stuff to you the best way I can. Watch this. While he's doing this on his way, he goes to the high priest and seeks some paperwork, some authority. Give me what I need. I'll go get them. I'll go down there to Damascus. I'll go down there to Syria. I'll go down there and get them. Y'all, you having some problem out of these Christians? Y'all having some problem out of these church folk? I'll go get them. Just give me the paperwork. Give me a warrant. So I can go get them and bring them back. Saul, here's the problem. I did all that talking to tell you this. Saul think he right. In his eyes, he's doing this in the name of the Lord. And do you see the world we living in? Where people are doing destructive stuff, killing, criticizing, murdering, imprisoning unfairly, people thinking they're doing it in the name of the Lord. Cutting your throat thinking they're right. Putting you out of church because they think they got the bylaws say it. Saying you ain't worthy to receive certain stuff because the bylaws say it. You got to beg a church pardon, babe, because you got pregnant. But the father ran the meeting. The world we living in. Where people are so fanatical. Have you had interviews with people? Have you ever just had conversations with folk who are wrong as two left shoes? But you cannot convince them that they ain't on the right track? They think God is pleased with them being malicious. They think God is pleased with them spewing out and cussing folk out, talking to folk any kind of way. And they think that God gave them authority. Saul went and got paperwork that gives him a right to arrest people. His job was not to go serve and protect. He used his badge to arrest and condemn. That sounds familiar yet? Instead of going to protect citizens, you're going to violate them. That's the world we're living in, where you give people certain little symbols of authority and they abuse it. I'm going to get in trouble again. I thought it was going to be a trouble-free Sunday, but here it is, Lord, here we go again. Because folk, you done gave them a little bit of title and a little bit of authority, and instead of them being in a position to help, they using it to hurt. That nightstick was supposed to protect me from others. You weren't supposed to be using it on me. You arrest me, but your grandson sold it to me. But you gonna arrest me? These social organizations that believe that because of the color of their skin, that they are better than others? And what do they have? They have this rebel flag, they got their Confederate flag, and then they have a Bible. I'm not making this up. The KKK and the Headerskins and whoever else, what they call themselves here? The Proud Boys, in the name of God. They think God is pleased. And I don't know, and you can protest them. They ain't finna change their mind. It's good to protest. It's good to speak truth to power. I'm preaching out of my soul best I can now. And some of them listen to me. Whatever. Here's the good news, though. They can shut us up. They can attack us. You can think you're doing what's right. But for some folks, I'm a living witness. It takes God for you. Oh. It takes God. Watch this. He's headed When the Great Awakening comes, it's going to be, number one, a powerful confrontation. A powerful confrontation. Saul, oh, he gone. I'm headed to Damascus. I'm finna go shut this mess down. I done heard word that we got some more with this Jesus talk, call themselves saints. Because they don't become Christians till chapter 11, technically. But they call themselves saints and the church. And they're not doing anything by the law. I'm headed to Damascus. I got my paperwork. I got my boys with me. I'm gone. But then God say, enough. Lord, I'm trying not to fly out of this church. That the mess is going on. The oppression is coming to pass. The hell is all over us. Everybody fighting. Everybody cutting throats. Everybody divided. The church ain't seeking God. Church just seeking their own selves. But when God get tired of it, God show up. Because you can fight me, you can't do nothing with God. Can I ask you a question? Everything in the Word of God, y'all just got through singing about victory is mine. And you say you're going to tell who? Get where? You can tell him that because God give you authority to do it, right? What you got to fight, God? I'll wait. You got some tools, you got some weapons to fight the devil. I'll wait till you give me an answer. What you gonna do to fight the one who made you? Whatever you want to use, he created that. What you standing on, he created that. What you breathing, he created that. God shows up. I'm headed this way. I'm gone. Saul said, I'm gone. I'm finna go shut this mess down. I'm headed to go do something I ain't got no business doing and think I'm right. Watch this. God sees further ahead than we can see. God says, I got some use for him, but I got to shut him down before I get him started. Watch this. Y'all, I'm going to bless you in just a minute. Y'all ain't ready to be blessed yet. But just give me 30 seconds, I'm going to bless you. Watch this. As he's walking, a bright light from heaven comes around him. As he's walking to Damascus, traveling the road, doing the good work for the Lord knows if I let him get like that down there, like this, if I let him keep doing this, he's going to destroy the plan I got for his life. I need, God says, to save him from himself. Ooh, I wish I had three people, I'd be number four, who can thank God now, but you didn't thank him then, that God spared you from some stuff. He shut some stuff down. He didn't let you go there, didn't let you hang with them, didn't let you say that, because he was saving you from yourself. Somebody will tell God thank you this morning. Look. You were mad at the time because you just couldn't go. Were you ever really kind of old school and you just wanted to go, and you had some friends who ain't had no rules in their house, and they were able to just go do everything, and they were able to go and just do whatever, and you just tried your best. You wanted to go too. And you asked your parents, can I go? No. And what's your excuse? Well, such and such and them get to go. What your mom and daddy told you? Such and such ain't my child. And that's what God said to somebody this morning. The reason I won't let you do that, the reason I'm shutting that out in your life, is because that ain't my child. You are. And I got plans for you. I got something for you. And I'm not going to let you. Sometime I got to save you from yourself. You mad. You pout. Go on, pout. You still my child. You pouting with God. Some of y'all pouting with God right now. I done it. You pout with God because you just can't do what you want to do. You have to keep doing what he's all out for you to do. You're only able to do what he allows you to do. You want to make the rules like everybody else. You want to just clown like everybody else. You want to just go stupid, but every time you go to the bar, they close. You go to the dealer, they ran out because God ain't going to let you do what you going to do to destroy you. I don't never get to have no fun. I I don't never get to have no fun. Look what the Bible says. He headed to go do what he think is right. And a light shines around him. The spotlight is on Saul. Y'all ain't hearing me. You doing what you think is right. You represent something bigger than you. You got a whole clique with you. But the only one the spotlight come to. Has anybody, had the Lord ever come to you so clearly you thought you was the only one in the room? And you get so mad at the preacher because you feel like the preacher's been in your business? Because he talks so clearly to you as though you're the only one in the room? I'm in the Bible, y'all. Saul ain't by himself, but when that light shines, he feels like he by himself. Bible says he's going to go destroy these people who are in the way. The way is those people who are calling Jesus their King and Messiah. He's going to destroy this move of God. The steps he makes being Saul is going to ruin the move of God. Why are you frustrated right now? Because you want to make some steps, but God says if I let you make steps, the church going to be affected. The ministry going to suffer if you do like everybody else. Lord, have mercy. I thought I was, okay. It's a powerful confrontation. God confronts Saul on the road. And he speaks, the light's so powerful. The Shekinah glory is so bright. It is so powerful and so luminous that it knocks Saul to his feet. Now, y'all not going to tell the truth about this, but I must say it still for the state of saying it, that God has a way of knocking you off your high horse. And I, you can tell, y'all, folk who done got brought down. And I'm looking at people this morning, and I'm talking to people this morning. You ain't really been brought down yet. Because when you done been brought down, you worship differently. You praise differently. How you talk to people is different. Your attire is different. It's just a different glow about you because you done been around the light. Now, you know what's wrong with some church folk? It's that we've been around people who've been around the light. But we ain't been around the light ourselves. And so you got to be careful about people who hang around you, not because of you, but because you've been around the light, and they're going to try to bootleg your light. He shocks him. He knocks him down. He's coming down Damascus Road on a high horse. But when the glory show up, he falls down. And look what the Bible says. He fell down to the earth. Y'all missed it. He didn't fall down to the ground. He fell down to the earth. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. He didn't fall down to the ground. He fell down to the earth. To let you know, because where you came from in the first place is the earth. God is getting ready to rejuvenate you, to restore you, and God has taken many of you back to basics because you're starting to think you are the earth. And God says, I'm letting this season happen in your life to knock you off your high horse. It's some rich folk that got COVID. It's some folks who had ideas about COVID. Ah, it's a hoax. Next thing you know, it's some folks who said, I ain't got to wear no mask. It's my body. It's my life. 2 months later. Because if you're on a high horse through this, get back to earth where you come from. And you know what's wrong with some of us this morning? We don't want people seeing us back to earth. We want people seeing us on a high horse. But God is allowing leaders to go through so that the people who they're leading can see if God can bring me up, he can bring you up. Amen, amen, amen. I like that point myself. Watch this. Watch this. And so the Lord shows up. And he didn't, the Lord don't just show up and shine. The Lord shows up and talk. Now, I ain't got no problem. Most of us don't have no problem. The Lord show up. Woo, the glory came in the room. What was the word about? And so you didn't just have an experience when you felt the glory, but you got the gospel when you get the glory. Look what he said. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Wait a minute. Now I told you a little kind of a, I gave you kind of a little recap of Saul's life. He's a tent maker. You know, he's a Hebrew and Roman citizen. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He's very learned of the law. He's very zealous. He's a very prominent Pharisee. He held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. He was consenting to the death of Stephen. He's trying to shut down the move of the, of this little church folk. But at what point did I persecute Jesus? You didn't hear me say anything about him saying nothing personal about Jesus. His attack has been on them people. Y'all ain't hearing anything. I'm gonna bless myself and you. I'm already blessed just because I want to get it out. Some of us think we ain't guilty because we ain't say it to God. I can downrate you. I can gossip about you. But I ain't gossiping about God. I love God. I love God. I'm God's child. I'm a king's kid. But you bashing her. Oh my God. I love the word. You messy about them, but you love God. And then when the Lord show up and shut you down, he asks you a question, why are you persecuting me? If something ain't right with the sentence structure here, because at no point did the preacher or did Luke in this book of Acts say that Saul said anything about Jesus. Then Jesus show up. Why are you going to go look for his people? He show up and block you from destroying his people and say, why are you talking about me? Because when you bother them, you bothering me. If you're trying to shut down a move of God, you're trying to shut down God. If you're trying to shut down a child of God, you're trying to shut down God. And some of us are in trouble, not because we ain't said to God, but because we said to one of God's children. And it matters to God what you do, how you treat, what you say about his children. They may be nothing to you, but they're everything to him. They might not be nothing to you, but he saved them. He restored them. He healed them. He gave them life. And whether you like them or not, they are a child of God. So you need to intersect there. Next time you get to gossiping, you better check their walk with God first. Next time you run your mouth and tearing them down, you better make sure they ain't no child of God. Because everybody that you talking about that belong to God, everybody that you downrating and persecuting, you're talking about the king's kid. You trying to shut down somebody that God love. Y'all might have got into it, but he still saved them. Y'all, I'm in trouble. But wait a minute, what about what they did to me? That same thing go for them too. But I ain't talking to them right now. Right now, Saul, I'm shutting you down. But what about Annas and Caiaphas? I'm the ones that sent me. You the one asked for the papers. You the one said you was bad. You the one said you doing it. So don't try to kowtow now. Don't try to back out now. You bad, right? I saw when you held that coat. What coat? Because when you said it, he heard it. Lord, have mercy. Help the church, Lord. Help the church. I got to get through with this. Help the church, Lord. It's a powerful confrontation. And God's people got too much to do spreading the gospel and then fight Pharisees. I can't see this is the trouble many of us get in. I can't fight with you, and I got to keep fighting for you. We're supposed to be on the same team, but every time I turn around, the knife is right there toward me. So God has a way of saying, when God gets tired of it, God come, look here. I ain't got to get them back. I ain't got to chase down the lie. I ain't got to go and hunt and try to find out who been saying it. I ain't got to go and dig no ditches and try to set a trap. God see it. God saw it. And when God ready to do something about it, God know how to find them. Look here. Did they pray about where they going? God knew exactly where to find Saul. And I take comfort in knowing today that I don't care who you are in this world, sooner or later, just as Saul, you go have to hear from the Lord. It's up to you whether or not you receive it, but everybody go out to give an account, because the Lord go speak to everybody before it's all said and done. And so he strikes him. Strikes him down. Why are you persecuting me? Then Saul did say something interesting. Who are you, Lord? Now, Jesus done showed up. This the one he says ain't no Savior, right? Ain't no Messiah. So he don't know who is this talking. But by the power of what's that knocked him down, who are you, Lord? He don't know Jesus, but he know it's some power. Y'all missed it. In the King James there, the word Lord, title Lord there, is a title, is capitalized. That shows, that's kurios. That means that it's supreme authority. That means it's a higher power than the one that you're.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month. 6 o'clock midweek service and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.